Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 5th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. David Morgan, our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, and he's a recognized analyst in the precious metals industry. He consults for hedge funds, high net worth investors, mining companies, depositories, bullion dealers. He's basically the publisher of an incredible report called the Morgan Report, a world-class publication designed to build and secure wealth. He is also the author of the Silver Manifesto and a featured speaker at investment conferences worldwide. To learn more, themorganreport.com. He's appeared on all the big radio TV networks. And finally, he hits Liberty Roundtable Live. Welcome, sir.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, you are also considered a macroeconomist, educating people about honest money. Tell people what a macroeconomist is, because most people are familiar with just the average economist that just babbles and they don't make any sense. But at the end of the day, they supposedly sound like they do, so you trust them. That's kind of one of the big lies, if we're going to highlight big lies. But what is a macroeconomist, sir?
Well, first, I'll define an economist. Basically, an economist looks usually at just one set, meaning money in within the U.S. or something. So they'll usually do their economic studies and analysis on, like, the United States of America, or what's Pakistan doing, or what's South Africa doing, or that type of thing. And it's purely based on their fictional equations, numbers, and the Keynesian model, which is false. A macroeconomist factors in reality and geopolitics. So we look heavily at what is the geopolitical structure worldwide that influences the flow of money. And that's what a macroeconomist does.
All right, there you have it. Let's talk about a constitutional currency, gold and silver. The most stable intrinsic value representations of wealth, the constitutional legal medium of exchange, that was designed by our founding fathers for a reason. They realized that it was the only way to have real, honest weights and measures compared to what they've changed us to, this fiat federal system designed to betray us and turn over our wealth to the international banking cartel. What do you say to that? Is that spot on, or what do you say, David?
Yeah, I say that's very factual. It's a very big crime that's taken place, and the way it's accomplished, as probably everyone listening to this show knows or has a pretty good idea, is started off basically on a sound money principle, and then the Federal Reserve took over, and basically they were still issuing, you know, sound money at the time. And then as things morphed more and more, they went into printing more money or more currency than there was gold. And in 1971, August 15th, Richard Nixon's bluff had been called, primarily by Charles de Gaulle, France, and the United Kingdom, saying, well, we'll take these pieces of paper that you say are as good as gold. Here's the paper. Give us the gold. And they were draining the gold stockpile of the United States. Nixon said he's temporarily closing the gold window. And then the race was on. And, of course, it instantaneously didn't change any. In a way, it changed everything. In another way, it didn't, because the next day, no one really saw any difference in their purchasing power or what they could do at the store or what their wages were or anything else. But it's insidious, and inflation will destroy people. It will destroy society. It'll destroy a nation state. It'll destroy a community. It destroys everything. There's no way out. I say three words almost every time. People that listen to me regularly probably get sick of hearing it, but all fiat fails. There has never been one exception to that fact. So as a financial analyst and speaker, et cetera, you know, you're not allowed to say anything that is questionably accurate. So I can't guarantee stock A will double by next Tuesday. I'd be in trouble for saying that. But I could almost guarantee that the U.S. dollar is going to go to zero or so close to it that they need to implement a new monetary system. And, of course, that's what they're going to do.
All right, let's ask this question. Are they going to basically pitch it as a jubilee? Hey, we're going to forgive your debts. We're going to make the world good for you. Are they going to try to just appease us with, kind of campaign bling, so to speak, to try to get us there?
Certainly, that's a possibility. I've given a great deal of thought. In fact, I wrote about it in the Morgan Report a few months back. It is interesting to watch that cycle about every 50 years. And, of course, that's what's in the Bible. Every 50 years, they had a jubilee, and they kind of reset everything. The reason for that, most people don't know, is compound interest. What, you know, Buffett and others call the eighth wonder of the world is you can put a dollar in a bank, and it could compound. Of course, interest rates are moving up. They were quite low and zero for a while. The point being is quick thought experiment, if God gave Jesus 1 cent on his birth, kind of compounded at 2% till now, it'd be the net worth of 6 planet Earths. So obviously you can compound that number to a very large number, but it has no meaning. It's like the placards I'm going to show in my speech at Red Pill. I've got a gentleman holding up a cardboard sign that says starving billionaire. So we get to the point where we hyperinflate the currency. So the idea is in the Bible is that you could only compound interest or get usury for so long. And then if you reset it, you could start over. And within those parameters, you could say it works. But if you look at it from where, let's say, the Rothschilds were probably banking at that time, real money, I don't know what the interest rate was, we'll say 2 or 3% back in the 1700s. Just take out your calculator and figure out what that would be worth today.
Chris?
Wow. So you're telling us, David, that when Nixon in 1971, August 15th to be exact, when he said, quote, "The third indispensable element of the new prosperity is closely related to creating new jobs and halting inflation." Decoupling the dollar from gold did not halt inflation. You're telling me a politician lied to me in 1971?
How rare. I know. Because, how rare.
Yeah. I rest my case with the fact of what we're experiencing today. Yes.
So. Yeah, just if I could interject real quickly, you know, I mean, I'm bullish both the metals, primarily silver, for a lot of variety of reasons. But a lot of people are upset with silver's performance and gold as well in the last decade or so. And I could sympathize with that. But I want to remind everybody from a longer term perspective, when I was a teenager and started driving, gas was roughly 25 cents a gallon. And that was at that time. We had just been off the silver coins for a few years. So up until the time I was 11 years old, we still circulated 90% silver coins. So a few years after that, gas is about 25 cents a gallon. Today, a silver quarter turned into fiat will still buy you a gallon of gas. It converts to about $4 or so. So it has maintained its purchasing power. Now, silver has a propensity during hard times, especially inflationary times, to what I call overshoot, which means that it becomes much more valuable in the marketplace. So instead of buying a gallon of gas, you might buy the gas station. I'm joking, but you get the idea. You might buy a whole tank full of gas, for example.
All right, I want to set the stage for this. I want to set the stage for this discussion real quick, and then we'll come back to your question after the pause here, Chris. It seems to me what's fascinating about these changes in America is we have switched 100-plus years ago in 1913 to the Federal Reserve System, where we turned over our constitutional, God-ordained, honest money mandate, and we have betrayed America by getting a banking cartel, a global banking cartel, in charge of fiat or fake money. They literally create a $100 bill, cost them about 2.5 cents to produce it. They put it into circulation at 100 bucks or 20 bucks or whatever the denomination is, 50 bucks. Okay, that in and of itself is literal treasonous crime. Then on top of that, they charge the usury, the interest that we're talking about, in which they, in the olden days, in Christ's time, had to be under a forced jubilee to reset so that it was sustainable. What we're on now is an unsustainable trajectory, and we could have backed ourselves out of it. But we've waited so long now, we're $30 trillion-plus in debt. That's on the books and admitted to. But if you talk about the unfunded liabilities and the unfunded mandates and the you're well north of $200 trillion with a T dollars, ladies and gentlemen. You will never get out of this. There's only one or two ways out of this that I can see. One is a global currency, not that I want one. Or two is flat-out war, because tyrants will never let go of their power and control willingly. Sadly, we've lost so much liberty, and you might be afraid to go here, David, but I'm going to say it anyway. The only way to bring liberty back, blood's the only way. Now, I don't like that. I'm not fond of that. I'm not pushing for that. But I'm telling you, tyrants never let go of power willingly. And we've gone too far down the road. Most are afraid to admit that reality. But I think that's the case. Because whether we pay back our debt or not, whether we acknowledge we owe it or not, whether we say it's legitimate or not, isn't the point. They will force us to war if they don't get their way with us. When we come back, we'll talk about that, ladies and gentlemen. Also, Chris wanted to make a point. We'll get to that, too. Sorry to interrupt. David Morgan, ladies and gentlemen, themorganreport.com. He's speaking at Red Pill coming up. We'll tell you more about that as well on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, we are with David Morgan talking about finances, talking about honest money, talking about his speech coming up at the Red Pill Expo, theredpillexpo.com for more details and tickets. You can get online tickets. You can go in person and or you can do the virtual ticket. It's up to you. But David Morgan will be one of the speakers. TheMorganReport.com. So I mentioned that, hey, you know what? We've created this financial disaster, and we've allowed it to go on for so long, and we've let the debt rise to such a degree we will never get out of it. It's not possible to pay it. Anybody who claims that it is, I want to debate them on it. Because remember, you've only got one source for money, a monopoly, and when they put the first dollar into existence, they charged interest. Therefore, just make interest a penny. Just for an example, if you borrow a dollar from the only source to get money and they want you to pay back a dollar one, where are you going to get the one? $2, two, $5, five, you know, where are you going to get the interest? Unless they create it for you, you don't even have it to give it, right? And they're the monopoly on money. They've created a system designed to enslave us, treasonously betray us, and there's no way out that I can see except for war if we resist and or a global currency. David, your thoughts on that reality?
Okay, tough one. First of all, history certainly proves your statement. I'd like to believe that there is an alternative. I just did an interview with a gentleman, Michael Tellinger, on my Mastermind series, and that's a paid service. Although I think I'm going to get permission from my group to put it out in the public in about a month's time. And he's got solutions called One Small Town. You can look it up. I don't want to divert the conversation too much. I just want to say I'm for, you know, a Gandhi type of method. Is one available? I'm not sure. This gentleman outlined one that made sense to me. But in order to get it accomplished, you've got to motivate people. And that's really hard. Most people are taught to respect authority. Many are, and I'll say this is controversial, mind controlled. The television set is used to program people. My dear mother is a perfect example. And so we have a situation where it will be very difficult. I certainly wouldn't rule out what you said. And what you said is probably the most likely, although, again, that being the optimist slash nonconformist I've been my whole life, I'd like to think that there is a possibility of an alternative.
All right, Chris, now it's time to jump in, buddy.
Yeah, perfect segue. So my alternative, Sam and David, would be for Congress to repeal the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, reassume authority constitutionally over our monetary system, declare that our dollars are backed by gold and silver, if that be the case, and say they are debt-free. Could they not do that conceivably, David and Sam?
Yeah, let me get in there because you're hitting a really good point and a hot spot with me. So I've been, you know, in this thing since I was an 11-year-old kid, but that's another story. So I've studied this my whole life. In 1980, gold went to $850 an ounce. However, if you took the M1, and what people don't understand about money is a lot of things. But one of the things is, well, you would have to have this much gold to cover all the debts outstanding. Well, a lot of those debts are what they're worth, worthless. So money in and as itself, a gold coin or a bimetallic standard, is what's called base money. So that's M0, very close to M1. I'm not trying to talk over anyone's head. I'm trying to just set the scene. And I have to explain the variables here. So in 1980, gold went to $850 an ounce. Base money would have been covered 100% by gold if at $400 an ounce. So we had more than doubled the paper price of gold to go completely back on a gold standard. But of course, no one in, you know, none of the Congress critters or the others in the government that were either awake enough or aware enough or thought enough to at least propose that. So that very important point I'm making is to show you that it could have been done roughly 10 years after the temporary close of the gold window. So yes, it's possible. The whole thing is to do it correctly. You've got to price gold with where the current debt structure is, or I should say the base money level needs to be. And there's lots of arguments, but if you want to find the paper price of gold, you take the amount of base money divided by the amount of gold that Treasury says it has, which is 265 million ounces, and you'll find out gold's roughly 12,000 an ounce right now. But if you did it, pegged it, and made it stick, and you didn't get any human interference, yeah, you could absolutely do that. I would submit that that's probably one of the better ways to do it. My concern is, being a student of monetary history, is that every time it's done, it morphs into what happened with Nixon, and it wasn't Nixon's fault. I'm not a defender of Nixon. But regardless, human equation enters in there, and we'll just borrow a little bit more than we have gold available, blah, 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 and then we get to where we're at now.
Chris?
Yeah, I agree 100%. It would be a piece of cake, but there's no political will because people are controlled not by the votes of the people, but by the monetary flow of the Federal Reserve System. So it wouldn't happen. It would never happen. There would have to, like Sam said, there would have to be a war to overthrow the monetary powers that be today before that would ever be politically conceivable.
All right, this is important to understand that I don't want to get on the big debate whether it's going to be war that gets us out of it or if there's a peaceful way forward. One small town, certainly a lot of people say is a viable alternative. You know, I wish it were true, but I'm convinced that we're on a collision path, ladies and gentlemen. You know, in the Bible, it talks about a war in heaven and Satan and his dragons and angels or whatever you want to say were kicked out of heaven. There's been a battle going on ever since, and the real battle is between Christ and Satan. We're in the middle. And Christ would have us all prosperous on an honest money, intrinsic value, honest weights and measures system. That, you know what, everything had value. And the medium of exchange did not pervert and or destroy value. It merely exchanged value for value. An asset-based system of prosperity, stability, trust. Okay, Satan wants the opposite. He wants slaves. So freedom or slavery is another way to say, hey, you're in the middle, and that's the battle going on. And I wish that they would leave us alone to pursue liberty. But my experience through the history of the world is they will never let go. And as a result, that's why I say the trouble is coming. The good news is the Savior's coming as well, David.
Absolutely. It is truly a spiritual battle. And it is good versus evil, and the evil doers at the top. But just to revivify what you said, basically, unfortunately, most people can be bought, and the money powers know that. Bought the political class, they bought the merchant class, they bought everybody basically. And the way the real world works
media.
Is from the banking system on down, and we the people have been suppressed for a long, long time.
And don't forget the media. The purchase of the media allows them to perpetuate the false message that we have to continue on the same system that we've been suffering from and losing money from these last 108 and a half years. So the media plays a critical role in the Great Deception as well. You can't forget that.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
I agree with that. Now, I will say this, though. Set aside the pending savior coming. And the pending doom that we seem to face, if you look at a God's view, we know we win. If you look at a man's view, you know what? We're in trouble and it's going to be rough. But set that aside for a second, ladies and gentlemen, because what David Morgan focuses on most with themorganreport.com and with his incredible training, etc., you can have a second chance, ladies and gentlemen. What would you do if you had a second chance is the question on his website. The book secondchance.com, and then he also has the Silver Manifesto, thesilvermanifesto.com. But what would you do with a second chance? And what David focuses on is what you as an individual and your family can do in spite of it all as we wait for the Savior's return. You don't have to just sit back and go, oh man, all is lost, trust in God, he'll take care of it. There's things that you can do, ways that you can be involved, solutions that you can implement, David.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. Yeah. You know, one of the, let's say, talking points amongst Christians is, you know, you're going to throw your gold and silver in the street, you know, so therefore don't buy gold or silver now. I have talked to many theologians to get their opinion on that. And mine, it goes along with the majority that I've interviewed. And that is, it proves that we're using it until Christ's return. Hell, I'm throwing mine in the street. But until that time, we're probably going to need to use it, especially if we opt out of the beast system. So I'm a proponent for God's money up until God's return. I think that makes the most sense.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. David Morgan with us, themorganreport.com. Sam, Chris, and David will continue in seconds. Remember, David will be speaking at Red Pill Expo coming up next weekend in Salt Lake City. TheRedPillExpo.com for more. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
At least one person is dead in Oklahoma, where significant storm damage was reported. That's according to the county emergency manager. Nine twisters formed in Texas, four in Arkansas, and one in Oklahoma. A preliminary count by the National Weather Service's Storms Prediction Center shows the total number will likely increase, and the intensity of each one will not be known for several days. The FBI has located the individual behind a threat to attack synagogues in New Jersey. FBI agents spoke to the person, who has not been identified, and said he holds, quote, radical extremist views, end quote, but no longer poses a threat to the community. Police believe he was acting alone, but are still investigating the case. There might be a diesel fuel shortage in the near future.
Major fuel companies are sounding the alarm of an upcoming diesel fuel shortage that could soon impact your wallet. The United States is down to a 20 to 25-day supply of diesel fuel. Typically, that number is closer to 35 or 40. Rick Todd is the president and CEO of SC Trucking Association.
There's no way any company can absorb cost increases like this, and any business that can't pass on their costs isn't going to stay in business for very long.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
The Russian headquarters in Melitopol in southern Ukraine were attacked and destroyed. That's according to the city's mayor. Melitopol has been occupied by Russian forces since the early days of the invasion. This is USA Radio News.
Paid for by government.com.
The 1878 to 1921 Morgan Silver Dollar, a true American classic and one of the most iconic silver dollar coins in history. It's been 100 years since the last Morgan Silver Dollar coin was struck for circulation. And now, for a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck Morgan dollars are being released to the public. That's right. You can own a full pound of 1878 to 1921 classic American Morgan Silver Dollar coins, all in very good collector condition with fully visible dates and mint marks. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-473-1745 now to secure collector-grade U.S. Morgan Silver Dollars by the pound, struck during the Wild West and the Gilded Age. Plus, receive a bonus American Collector's Pack valued at over $25, free with every order. Call 1-800-473-1745 now to secure your full pound bag of Morgan Silver Dollar coins before they are gone. 1-800-473-1745. That's 1-800-473-1745.
Right before the pause, ladies and gentlemen, David Morgan was talking about honest money. And you know what? We can use honest money. From a family and an individual point of view, we can return to constitutional currency. But people misunderstand gold and silver, ladies and gentlemen. You want to believe that gold and silver as money should follow this dishonest approach, which is this. Every day your money's worth more. Every day your house is worth more. Every day you're supposed to, you know what? You're supposed to just prosper by growth. But that's a lie. Okay, that's what inflation is, the evil companion, the hidden companion thereof. If you talk about honest money, it's a medium of exchange. It's a medium of exchange. It doesn't increase wealth. Work, other things that provide value increase wealth. Money is the exchange to accomplish the transfer of appropriate value for value or wealth. And so this idea that I'm going to buy gold and silver and I'm going to get rich is bogus. Gold and silver rarely change. Yes, they ebb and flow and fluctuate like anything does. But it's your dollar that goes up and down psychotically against the constitutional currency. That's why it can be up on the ruble and down on the dollar at the same time. How can that be if silver moves? The answer is that's the lie. Gold and silver is not supposed to get you wealthy. Work, prosperity, wisdom, wise management of your assets is what provides steady long-term growth and wealth. And the reason that I'm bringing this up, ladies and gentlemen, is because if you take an ounce of gold, you could buy 300 loaves of bread in Moses' time, Jesus' time, and now. You could buy a fine, man-made, hand-tailored, fine suit then and now. It hasn't really changed. What's changed is the dishonest inflationary fake currency against that reality, deceiving you into believing that somehow if you buy a piece of silver, you're going to be rich tomorrow. Well, it's a lie. That's the stock market mentality. It's not reality from a constitutional value-based currency or an honest weights and measures biblical currency, David.
Yeah, well said. I mean, you know, my moniker is to preserve and build wealth. And gold and silver are examples of what you said. For a quick example, last 50 years, the base money supply has gone up 50-fold and the price of gold and paper terms have gone up 50-fold. So it's basically stayed the same as far as purchasing power. So let's take another real quick thought experiment. If you had a very rich uncle in 1913 and he gave you $1 million, it would be worth $1 million today, which would be far less than what it would have bought in 1913. But if you took that $1 million in gold, you would have $20 gold pieces, and gold's roughly 1800. So you would have $90 million in round numbers. What's a bigger number, 90 million or 1 million? So you get the point you're making. I'll make one exception. There's a caveat to it. And in times of runaway inflation, you can actually see gold and silver get overvalued. As I mentioned earlier before the break, gold was at 850, which is actually two times the base money supply. So in terms of going back in a gold standard, it was overvalued, if you want to consider it in those terms. Also, silver went up from $7 or $6 to $50 in 1 year. So we had an 800% increase in 1 year. That's kind of like a Bitcoin move. So that could take place, but that's a subset of the overall picture, which you painted accurately, generally speaking, a preserved
wealth.
Yeah,
and that's why I said it ebbs and flows. There's glitches, there's blips, there's sure reality that for a lot of things. But in general, the point that I'm making, people need to understand, it's not gold and silver that goes up and down. It's your fake money against it. And that's why it goes up in one currency and down in another at the same time. Chris?
Sure.
Yeah, so my wife and I, we made a purchase, an investment of silver about a year ago. And today, if we were to buy that same amount of silver, we would pay roughly the same price. So it hasn't increased with the level of inflation. Why is that? What's suppressing it, and what mechanisms are they using to suppress it?
Well, there's a couple things going
David?
On. First of all, the silver market is a derivatives market. If you look at, you know, the silver market is based on commercial bars, which are roughly poured bars that are approximately 1,000 ounces of 999 silver. They come from different refineries. The exchange, the commodities exchange, they approve certain refineries, which there's like 8 or 9 of them. And that amount of silver sits in warehouses or vaults. And that's a backup to this massive paper push that takes place in all commodities, but none are more distorted than the silver market. So if you think about supply and demand, if you create an infinite supply of pieces of paper that promise to pay silver, but don't have the silver to back it up, just like what happened in, you know, before 1971 with the amount of paper saying that it was backed by gold and it wasn't, same principle applies here. So you have an infinite supply of silver. What do you think the price is going to be? Zero. I mean, if you've got so much silver that you have to, you know, go down your street to your local store and dodge all the silver ingots in the road, it's not going to be very valuable. But that's based on a derivative, not reality. So there's a huge discrepancy between the price of silver on the paper exchanges and the price you pay at your local dealer. And that's getting to be a larger and larger spread. Even the wholesalers.
And David, all it would take is for the people to demand possession of their silver to call a halt to the con game.
That's all it would take. I've said for years that if we went hypothetically to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena or any outs anywhere, I'm just doing a thought experiment again, and we took at the 50-yard line and made a nice red mark down the whole thing. And on one side, we put all the physical silver in the world on there. And on the other side, we put all the paper claims on silver. There'd be a huge mismatch.
Yeah.
So they use paper to play the games.
For the Rose Bowl.
It's basically fiat silver on paper trading. That's part of the problem that keeps it down. The other problem is the plunder protection team, which is well known to manipulate the markets as well. Whenever people start to force reality on the markets, the plunder protection team comes in and manipulates it even further, David.
Right. I made this speech a while back, and a few people picked up on it. I'm not saying I originated it, but, you know, we get this argument, well, it's not manipulated. And this is nonsense. But what I said during the speech was that money is a commodity like potatoes. I mean, especially if you're looking at honest money. I mean, gold and silver are elements given by God and voted by the people to be money for ages. But aside that point, money is a commodity like potatoes, and we need to be able to determine what the price of money is, which means interest rates, determined by a free market mechanism. So my point is, if you, the bankers, can control the price of money, you control everything, because everything is based upon the money supply and how valuable it is. And since the,
and David, that's why I started out saying money is, when you got a monopoly and they charge interest, yeah, and that's the only place you can get money, you can never mathematically pay it back. I'll debate any economist anywhere on that fact.
Yeah, now we
even a dummy like I can figure that out.
Yeah, no, it's a very valid point. It's the truth, and a lot of people don't even consider it, but it is one of the base elements to get back onto a system that works for everyone.
All right, Chris.
David, can you tell us if there's any gold in Fort Knox, and if so, how much, and if it's been audited? I mean, that's the people's money, right? We should hold our government accountable for how much is there, if any. I mean, has it ever been audited there in Fort Knox?
Yes. The last real audit, I'll call it, was in the 1950s. I forget which year, but early 1950s. I'm not sure, but I've looked into it to the best of my ability. And there's a gentleman called Bill Still, Bill, B-I-L-L, Still, S-T-I-L-L. And he's done several documentaries. And one of them is The Secrets of the Wizard of Oz. And in that, one of my favorites, he talks about the Eastern bankers. The Wizard of Oz is a metaphor for the Eastern bankers putting us on the gold-only standard, which is not in our best interest. The money functions best when you have gold and silver, or even a trimetallic silver, gold, and copper standard.
And let me quickly highlight why that is, because gold is in short supply, ladies and gentlemen, worldwide. And if you have gold and silver, what you want is kind of a relationship between the two, which represents enough metal to matter, first of all. Secondly, though, when you appropriate the weights and measures between the two, now you're stopping the run of a singular commodity. And so the combination throughout history has proven to be the most intrinsic valued based system. It holds its value more consistently than any other commodities you can find, and that's why the two work so well together. David, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, you said it probably as well as I could. The idea, of course, being that if you get to a monometallic standard, gold only, which the bankers had all the gold, they didn't really have that much silver stored in their vaults, then you get control. And there's a good series of papers written
about. Hey, Cameron, skip the break. All right, go ahead, David.
So the idea is that when you go on a gold-only standard, it's one step to fiat fiasco, and that's been proven over and over again. So the bankers knew what they were doing when they went to gold-only. They want control. Money is power.
And remember one thing, folks.
Elite. Yeah.
The goal was to prevent monopoly or central control. Okay, we wanted central control in terms of the weights and measures to create a standard. But what we wanted was people to be able to go out and get silver, go out and get gold. We wanted money to come from hard work, from intrinsic value, from the earth, depending on God Almighty, like the rain and the soil. Okay, and so they didn't want this singular monopoly. So gold and silver was designed to where, you know what, pretty much a lot of people could get it and insert it into the economy without depending on a single source or a government that will use it to force power, David.
Exactly. The system was founded on a silver standard. I mean, if you look at the 1792 Act, it talks about, you know, the United States of America is on a silver standard. And, of course, again, that got morphed with the crime of 1873 when the banking monopoly decided to tell everybody that silver wasn't money. And then, of course, that's part of the story of the Wizard of Oz. It's also William Jennings Bryan, Bryant that said, you know, silver is the money of the people. He's a Democrat. He said, I want not for either party. I'm not. But regardless, he put up a stance that said, look, this is the people's money. You can't, you know, crucify me on a cross of gold. He knew, or at least his subset knew, that going to gold only standard would mean death to the West, or to the silver standard. And it did. And of course, it's gone downhill ever since.
All right, there's three books I want to kind of refer to really quick, and then I want to turn it back over to Chris. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to David Morgan, themorganreport.com, who will be speaking at the Red Pill Expo, theredpillexpo.com, to learn more, to get tickets. It'll be next week and in Salt Lake City, Utah, theredpillexpo.com. But the three books, one of them is by the founder of the Red Pill Expo, and the book is called The Creature from Jekyll Island. Ladies and gentlemen, incredible book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The other book is from Ron Paul about money. You can find it. The third book, though, is called Pieces of Eight. I think it's by Edward and Vieira, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, you can get really caught up on honest money and on the comparative systems that we've had in America and worldwide and historical, etc. It's really fascinating to understand. And the only systems that have stability year in and year out are the ones that are on constitutional currencies, gold and silver, where, you know what, silver is the primary function for the average Joe, right? But yet you have gold in there because it provides a stability factor between the two. There's a statement that I want to make, and then we'll turn it over to Chris for the next question. But understand this, folks. Norm Franz said this: gold is the money of kings. Silver is the money of gentlemen. Barter is the money of peasants. But debt is the money of slaves, ladies and gentlemen. With that, we'll turn it over to you, Chris.
Ain't that the truth, Sam? Unfortunately, that is becoming more and more reality in our nation and throughout the world, because the international bankers control every central bank in the world except three. There are three countries that have not yet succumbed to that type of a fraud. But going back to what David said about Bill Still, you know, Bill Still is not in favor of a gold-backed currency system because it can be manipulated. The gold market can be cornered. I'm in favor of backing gold up with any commodity. In fact, the more the merrier. I don't know how you feel about that. You could back it up with grain, for example, or soybeans, something that's relatively stable as far as its supply in the economy. Anything is better than what we have today, because what we have today is completely and totally unaccountable to not only the people, but to the politicians and to the very president. Nobody has oversight over the Federal Reserve System except the members, not even the members of the board, I don't think. I think even the chairman of the Federal Reserve System doesn't have as much control as we would like to think. And he's appointed by the president of the United States. But Benjamin Franklin, for example, was in favor of a fiat money system. I don't know if you know that, David and Sam. And it can be administered effectively if it is administered by honest and just people. The problem is 99.9% of the time it is not. It gets out of control. And people use it as their own little penny bank to finance their own little hobby horses. And with no oversight especially, you're going to have a runaway system just like we have today. But
well,
anything,
and you're right,
you know,
and really quick, just to make the point, we don't need government if everybody's honest and wise and self-governing. You know what? We don't need money if mm-hmm. everyone would follow the principles of the turning small towns into places of prosperity and abundance. OneSmallTown.org for more details on that. Again, the problem is the wicked people in the world backed by Satan, beyond human nature, though, those who are not, you know, human nature is we're a fallen people, but there are people who are on a quest for control and tyranny. They're psychopaths, some would say, mm-hmm. or they're whatever. Okay, because of that, you know what? You can't just use any commodity, or you can't use this and that. Gold and silver is different than other commodities in its intrinsic value nature. And an example of that would be, hey, around the world, you'd have to have different commodities. Certain crops grow in certain places and don't in others. And gold and silver is the only ubiquitous choices that provide stability. That's why historically it's been used over and over in successful societies. And when they leave it or pervert it or whatever, hey, It's curtains for that society, David.
Yes, agreed. Just a side note. Bill Still, I met him personally. He was with me and many others when the governor of Utah signed into law that you can use gold and silver in any transaction in that state as long as both parties agree. I want to make another point that silver and gold are still lawfully money, but economically, it's absurd. Let me explain. By law, you could go into Walmart with silver eagles, so 1 ounce government minted silver, and they are stamped at $1. And you could go into Walmart, and I don't know what you could buy for a dollar anymore, but let's say you make a purchase for $10 and put down 10 ounces of silver, and there's not a darn thing that the counter person could do about it. Now, they wouldn't understand it. They'd freak them out. They'd probably get the manager. But legally, they would have to accept it. But of course, what would you be doing? You'd be paying, you know, 20 times the price in fiat than what it is. That's why it's not economic, but it is legal. You can actually pay legally for anything, but who's going to do it? I mean, it'd be stupid, but I want to make that point because people say
yeah,
that
if you want to do it, make sure I'm on the other end of the transactions. Please, ladies and gentlemen, I'll do it all day long.
That's right. Exactly. But I think it's important because people say that, you know, it's not money and blah, 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 blah. I don't want to belabor the point too much, but I do want to make that point.
Yeah, and I do agree with Chris, though, that any commodities-backed system is better than nothing. Right now, we got a petro-backed currency. They call it the petrodollar. It's backed by oil and forcing the world to go on this oil exchange program with the U.S. dollar being center stage. But that's going away, and they're trying to move us into a global system of fiat currency. They want to take it digital, David.
Absolutely. That's been what I've been focusing on in the Morgan Report for quite some time. It's obvious what they want. Now, remember, just because they want this does not necessarily mean that it'll take place. There will be resistance, and whether or not it works or doesn't remains to be determined. But they're looking for a cashless society on a global basis, modern money theory, where you can print in the digital computer as much as required, and you are forced to use it. And again, one of the most important points about honest money is freedom. And they take away all freedom with this money. So you could be, in theory, rich in the digital system and yet poor from the aspect of what you're allowed to do. Let me explain. They're going to use what's called a social credit score. They're going to probably rename it for the Western Hemisphere. But what it means is unless you comply with Big Brother, your funds are under their control all the time. And they will witness everything that you buy. Every transaction, even a garage sale, will be monitored. So we are in a system of the beast system. We're moving there rapidly, and there's 92 nations on the planet right now looking into cryptocurrencies. Government cryptocurrencies.
Government monopoly control digital currencies, ladies and gentlemen. Crypto dictator style is what I would call it, ladies and gentlemen. It's all part of the Great Reset, Chris.
Well, I would be slightly more in favor of that if it were, in fact, on the blockchain. But who's going to monitor whether or not they're complying with that blockchain constraint? I don't think anybody but the bankers themselves will have oversight over such a system. So there will be no accountability. And in fact, it will be similar to the system we have now because 90% of our money, and David, you can confirm this or not, is in fact electronic. I know that I use my credit card 95 to almost 100% of the time. Isn't that electronic money? And wouldn't that be similar to a Bitcoin type of monetary system anyway?
How would that be? Well said. I mean, we're very close to making that last step into the new system. As you said, I mean, you're on a digital system primarily. But there's one further step, and that's to eliminate all cash, because cash is a silent transaction. I can go to a garage sale and buy something with a $100 bill, and no one's really wise to that. But bankers hate that. So in an all-digital system and elimination of the cash, then they have complete control and they can monitor everything. And again,
I'm going to take issue with the blockchain. Sorry, go ahead, David.
So, no, go ahead. I'm done.
I was just going to say, my problem is I'm not confident. I'm an IT guy for a living, just so you understand, in addition to radio that I do, David. I'm an IT guy and a pretty decent one. And I'm telling you right now, everybody believes the blockchain is transparent and clear and easy to understand and absolutely, you know, open source kind of operating system blockchain. Everybody can see it. And look, folks, the blockchain gets trashed and hacked and manipulated and all the time. If you believe the blockchain is your savior for transparency, you are sadly mistaken, my fellow Americans. Remember, the person that developed this blockchain technology and some of these digital currencies in the first place, no one even knows who they are. They got fake names, and you don't even know who these people are, okay? Don't believe for one second that they don't have some way to manipulate it, backdoor, et cetera, or it would not be out there. And don't forget that the government wanted these currencies to flourish in the name of freedom, so that everybody would eventually be like, oh man, yeah, we got to have stability in the markets for the digital currencies. Let's rein it in and stabilize it, but it's still good and safe. And it's nothing more than conditioning the people to go for it. So I'm not fond of these blockchain technologies. I think they're a deception, David.
Yeah, well, that brings, thanks for the segue. If you go to my website, I do a lot for free, a lot. And if you go to themorganreport.com and go to the blog tab, pull it down and look at the crypto conspiracy. I've done 25 interviews on the crypto conspiracy, and we dive really deep into what's really going on with the crypto conspiracy world. And I said conspiracy because I didn't want the blowback. I'll just call it a conspiracy, but it's fact after fact after fact. Can't be proven, but it's pretty clear that the NSA may have had something to do with the initiation of Bitcoin. And believe me, the whole system, in my opinion, and it's a very studied one, was designed to get people used to this and then moving it into the central bank digital system we just discussed. And what's so interesting to me, looking backwards, is that the libertarians were the first to adopt Bitcoin. Oh, it's government free, it's decentralized.
By the way, betrayal money. Libertarians, though, that are involved in the conspiracy to their eyeballs, though, and that is the quintessential point.
Sure.
Yeah, and what happens when the electricity goes down? You can still use cash, but are you going to be able to use your cryptocurrency? So that's something to consider. What if the computer?
I'm
going to
use my green
down?
Thumb and my ability to negotiate very well, my friend.
Well, really, the best systems are anti-fragile, easily understood, and work under all conditions, and that's a gold and silver coin. You know, even paper money can be burned, you know. And I'm not against making a receipt. I mean, if I gave my sister a loan in gold or something, I'd take a piece of paper, write it down, you owe me this much in a year or whatever. But you get my point. But we're making it more and more complex, which is more and more fragile. The higher the complexity, the more ability for problems exist. And yet that's the direction we're being pushed, as we all know.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, if we're going across country because we have to flee for our safety, while Chris is on his commodities and trying to haul his 50,000 pounds of wheat, I got my little couple of gold coins right there in my pocket, and I'm just going to roll, baby. So all I'm telling you is portability is one of the biggest keys people don't recognize or realize as well. You got to have all these intrinsic value factors that make constitutional currency and or gold and silver. And I'm more of a silver man than a gold man. I'm like David. But all I'm telling you is that intrinsic value has all those properties built in. And oftentimes when people discuss other commodities, they fail to understand the portability aspect, the longevity aspect. Your silver coin doesn't rot. It doesn't get too old to eat or use or whatever else, et cetera. It doesn't get weevils in it. It doesn't. I mean, I can keep going. But you get the point. David Morgan with us, ladies and gentlemen. He will be speaking at Red Pill Expo coming up next week. TheRedPillExpo.com to get your tickets now. TheMorganReport.com to learn more about David's incredible work, film, book. I'm just telling you. A lot of it's free. Some of it's paid, but incredible stuff. TheMorganReport.com. God bless you, David. Thanks so much for your incredible work, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You got it, sir. For Chris Carlson, finish us up, sir.
Yes, sir. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere, continuing our duty, sir.
LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.